Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who's screaming from the rooftops for the big banks to help out America's small businesses, the Robin Hood of small business.
Now, don't be sore at the banks. Hell, we fired our CEO and he barely got out with $50 million.
That poor man, is he okay?
Well, as okay as you can be in the north of France.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. Thank you for that. If you've been, if you just tuned in, if you just rolled over and tuned into the show, we're glad you're here. Glad you're doing that. We're going to do our best to make it worth your while. And you know, folks, one of the things that that we've been talking about on this show for a long, long time now is the concept of trust, the idea of trust, the idea that that the nexus, the glue, the sinew of everything that we do, the connective tissue of everything that we do in our world, in our lives, whether it be in personal or our business lives, is all around trust. If you think about it, I mean, you're driving down the road, and there's only a line between you and a strip of paint and a line between you and the person coming at you in another automobile. You trust them to stay on their side, right? Well, there's so much of that that of everything that we do depends upon trust. And so why isn't this idea of trust talked about more? Why isn't it discussed more? Well, you don't have that problem on this show because we've been talking about it for a long time with our good friend Arki Shankuti. Dr. Arki Shankuti is a longtime member of our Brain Trust all the way back to 2001. He's the co-author of Built on Trust, Gaining Competitive Advantage in Any Organization. And he's been helping us over the years. Many times he's been on the show helping us understand the concept of trust and how to build your organization based on trust. And he's our good friend. Arki, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. My pleasure.
It's good to have you back, as always. You know, I think a lot about, since I don't have a life, Arki, I think about these things. And I think about all the different things that we do that rely on trusting other people.
Yes.
Everything. We go to a restaurant. The government inspects that restaurant. But how long has it been since the government's been in there? We still rely on that restaurant to deliver us safe, wholesome food, right?
Yes.
There's so many things that we do every day that depends on other people. I gave you my example of driving down the road. You know, I not only trust, I pray that you're going to stay on your side of the road, Arki, or that you're not going to turn into me if you pull up to an intersection. You're not going to pull out in front of me. I trust that you're not going to do that. And of course, that's for your own self-interest, but for the restaurant standpoint, for example, or other examples, you know, when you depend on other people, you trust them.
And, well, that's right.
And we don't, is trust so ubiquitous that it's become something we don't even think we have to think about?
Well, I think that there are a couple of, I think that's one factor. And I think another factor is that we all have experiences in our lives where we feel betrayed, where trust has failed us or somebody else has failed us, or at least we think so. And those experiences are so painful. When we first find out about, you know, what we consider a betrayal of trust, well, there's a shock that, you know, we all know what that is. You know, some people feel it in their, yeah, pit of their stomach, et cetera. But there's this horrible shock.
Yeah.
It's just like everything is, the carpet of the universe has just got swept out from under you. And so, that feeling is so devastating that we often avoid the topic, avoid thinking about it because, you know, unconsciously or otherwise, that feeling is there. So in the midst of these experiences, and we're talking about more than a disappointment, you know, way more than a disappointment,
right,
of an expectation. In the midst of those experiences, we make decisions, and the decisions are usually generalized and overdone. You know, like I'm not going to trust anybody in authority or any man or any woman,
right,
or any, you know, they're very generalized and they're very deep.
And it's reactionary.
And it's reactionary, and it's protective. And if you didn't have that mechanism, you know, then of course, you know, you'd be naive all your life and you would get hurt. But the trouble is it's an overreaction, and we forget about those decisions, and they're categorical. And then later, those decisions act unconsciously. So if I've made a decision about somebody with glasses, for instance, to use a silly example, then, you know, I may have more trouble establishing trust with people with glasses and not know why, or people with authority or people whatever, you know. And so this is a very uncomfortable feeling until you understand it. And so there's a lot of fear about trust and mistrust. And that's one of the reasons we don't concentrate on it. It's kind of like dying. It's one of those things, you know, that
the more I think about trusting you, Archie, the more it's going to hurt if and when you let me down.
That's exactly.
And based
on
my past experience, you will let me down because all these other people have.
That's correct.
Yeah,
so
hold on to that.
Hold on to that thought,
Archie. Archie Ciancuti, ladies and gentlemen, and I will be right back. His book is called Built on Trust. Stay with us. Robert Cray bringing us back, my favorite blues man, 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Archie Ciancuti is with us, Dr. Archie Ciancuti, the co-author of Built on Trust. Archie, tell us how we can find you online.
At learningcenter.net, and you can reach me directly, Archie, A-R-K-Y, at learningcenter.net.
So check it out, folks, and the book is available wherever books are sold. Still very popular, still a very important book. We're talking about trust, and Archie, you were saying it as we went to the break. We're talking about I asked the question, why is it because trust is such it's almost like oxygen, you know, it's essential to every element of our lives because we're not out here, you know, like we're stranded on a desert island by ourselves. Mm-hmm. We live in a world where we depend on other people to do their part to make this dance, this marketplace dance, this societal dance that we have, that you and I, as we go through our lives, that we take, and so we depend on everybody. And you were saying that you're concerned that some people, one of the reasons why more people don't want to talk about it, don't want to have it too much on their mind, is because the more they think about it, the more they think about some of the bad things that have happened to them. And so are you saying that is it a form of denial?
Yes, it's a form of denial in the sense that we're avoiding pain. And the pain is not, you know, completely conscious. It is for a while after one of these betrayal events, but then, you know, it fades away and we forget it, and we're avoiding that pain. And so when you tell an executive, let's say you're talking with somebody who's got a small business, store's got 4 or 5 employees or whatever, and you say to that person, you know, you can cause trust to be the fabric of your organization, to be the culture. Many people are surprised. They go, well, how? What are we talking about? In other words, we're so used to thinking that we are affected. We are at the effect, let's say, of other people and whether they're trustworthy or not, et cetera, et cetera. We don't think about as often as we might. Well, we can cause trust. And we can. In other words, if you're a leader in a small business, you really can make the culture of your organization based on earned trust. First, you have to earn the trust of those you work with. And that sounds maybe backward, but it's really true that we have to overcome this history of mistrust that we all have, and that we're all a little suspicious and a little skeptical underneath.
Well, the first time you engage with someone, everyone is on probation, aren't they?
That's right.
I mean, at the moment of the first contact, everybody's on what we, you know, when we hire people, sometimes we tell them they're on a 90-day probation. You know, if it doesn't work out, you know, no harm, no foul. We just split, you know, we just part company.
Right.
But so everybody's on probation at the beginning, aren't they?
That's right. There's this suspicion. Again, it's not.
But it's healthy, isn't it? Isn't that healthy?
Well, it is. It protects you. But the problem is it's overdone, too. It's overgeneralized. In other words, our suspicions go by categories sometimes. So we have categories of people or categories of functions. For instance, if you're in product development, you've had a rough time with the marketing people, let's say even in a previous company.
You may,
as soon as those marketing people start to talk about, you know, hurry up, get things done,
you know,
there they go again. They don't care about quality. It's this phrase, there they go again. Or, you know, and these decisions, always, all people, all never again, those kinds of things, they get categorical and with categories of people and functions. So
does our legal regime or system in the United States contribute to this? I was just, as you were talking about that a minute, I was thinking about a person that I care a great deal about, and he cares a great deal about me. We decided to do business together. And he turned the paperwork over to another part of his company, and they generated the original document. He wanted to have a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now I would have been happy at least initially with just a handshake to begin with, but he thought we should come up with a piece of paper, and that was fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other people came at me with a document that didn't sound, it sounded like I should put up my guard.
So I put up
my guard.
Yeah.
And the thing is this dance went back and forth until it got to the point where, guess what? We wound up not doing the deal.
Right. Now, a lot of this litigiousness, as we say in our society, is a protection. I mean, he may have been protecting himself.
Well, his people were protecting him. But unfortunately, though, is if he and I could have gotten started just on the handshake where he trusted me, there would be risk there
that
one of us would not perform. But if we could have gotten started and then said, okay, this looks like it's going to work, why don't we go ahead and tie this up with a document, and I'll stay. See, I stayed involved in my document. He didn't.
Yes.
And so I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying that that because... Now, it wasn't that he didn't trust me. It's just that we didn't employ the trust mechanism, the trust scenario, I guess maybe I should say.
Well, Does that
make sense?
There's a big lesson in that for, I think, all of our listeners at this moment. I mean, because when you begin to establish trust with your people, there is a period of time where, you know, there could be mistakes and errors. It's a new thing, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, they're not going to be, you know, horrible, you know, big betrayals, but there could be. So you need to have that period of time with benchmarks,
right,
where you're watching carefully,
and you're
patient with one another to get back on track. You're not going to ignore the mistakes. You're going to deal with them, but we call that supportive accountability, where you're going to have the accountability, but in a supportive way.
Hold on to that thought, Arky Ciancuti, ladies and gentlemen, and I will be right back. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
The place I love, and here life goes on day after day.
Little Jerry and the Pacemakers bringing us back. That's Jerry with a G if you're Googling him. And it's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for staying with me. We're having a great visit with our good friend Dr. Arky Ciancuti, the co-author of Built on Trust. We're talking about trust. We're talking about this. The idea of discussing trust, of having it a little bit more on our mind, not being afraid of trust, letting trust become more. The more we see, it's a little bit of ironic to me. The more we think about it, are we more likely to see trust? Are we more likely to fear not getting trust?
I think if you understand it, if you look at it and think about it enough to understand where your, let's say, trigger points are, you know, or likely be, and you could, those are fairly easy to see. You know, it's the things you're sensitive about.
Right.
You know, then I think once you see through that, because you know, we're talking about fear here. Now, the power in a fear is in its unconsciousness. That's how fear gets a power over us.
Right.
When we list our fears and become conscious of them and even talk about them to somebody who's, you know, going to listen and not try to fix them, you know, that gets powerful. And so you begin to release a grip of our fears.
Let me ask you a question. If we fear someone else not being trustworthy,
yes,
how much of – should we ask ourselves this – is this – am I feeling this way about that person – because of what somebody else has already done to me, Or am I feeling this way because I might do this to him? I mean, you know, sometimes when people are paranoid, it's because they're thinking about what they might do to you if they had a chance.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, isn't there, should we do a little self, some introspection there?
Yes, I think that's important, particularly, you know, it, when it's a, when the person falls into a category of some type, you know, that we've had difficulty with, if we think about it, we've had difficulty with in the past. So you want to become conscious of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, the other part that we haven't talked about is what you're alluding to is, you know, we don't feel good about, often when we feel betrayed, the other person isn't really trying to hurt us, you know,
right.
But if they find out that we did get hurt, most people, not all, aren't going to feel good about it. So we don't want to hurt other people on the mm-hmm. average, and we don't want to get hurt. So there's a lot of potential pain in there, which accounts for the denial. And as you say, this introspection can be helpful. And also, you know, an open discussion without getting touchy-feely, an open discussion led by the owner of the business or the executive or the manager, whomever, you know, who may start with some of his or her own examples.
Right.
Not a touchy-feely, but a business conversation. Well, you know, what bugs me here? You know, where can our trust be strengthened?
But isn't it, if somebody walks up and says, Arky, I'm Jim, you can trust me, that doesn't go over well either, does it?
No, it doesn't. Of course, it doesn't mean anything. The trust is based on two goals and one process in business. One goal, the first goal is you close every interaction. Here's what I'm going to do, and here's when you're going to see it, even if it's just in the next brainstorming session.
Right.
And you never make all of your commitments are authentic. You never say yes when you mean maybe. So the organization tolerates the expression of doubt. You don't live in doubt, but doubt comes before every authentic commitment. So you have to, you can't have an atmosphere where you always say, oh, yes, I'll do it. Oh, yes, I'll do it right away. You have to allow people to think through it, or otherwise their commitments are not going to be authentic. They're
right.
going to be, they're going to say yes and mean maybe. All of that's just human. So those two goals and then the process is communication, what we call closure communication.
Right.
And a lot of that closure communication should take place in the form of questions, open-ended questions that don't have assumptions. So for instance, the leader could have this question with his people. Well, how are we doing? You know, say what closure is, which I think it's obvious to everybody, but I would state it.
Right.
And then how are we doing on it? How am I doing on that? Well, I noticed the other day I made a promise to somebody, you know, and I just forgot to get back to him, or I didn't give mm-hmm. the time when I got back to him, or I said I'd get back, but I didn't say when, et cetera. And you start off with an example or two like that. You know, you're not admitting weakness. You're just admitting that this is a human foible
mm-hmm.
and that you want in your company an atmosphere, a culture of earned trust. And you begin the conversation that way. Those two goals, closure and authentic commitment,
mm-hmm.
and then the communication
around the execution or failure to execute.
That's right. So you don't have to get into a big touchy-feely.
Right. Yeah.
I've got to
wrap it up, unfortunately. Yeah. Give us your website one more time, please.
It's learningcenter.net.
Check it out, folks. The book is called Built on Trust, Arky Ciancuti, CIANCUTTI, if you're Googling him. Arky, thanks for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.